What has Clifton, Virginia residents terrified to pass a particular bridge at midnight? Could heartbreak and loss lead to an everlasting urban legend? Who would hang dead, mangled rabbits from trees for all to see? Today, we test the believability of the Bunny Man.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It is Tuesday. It's time for a new episode. Halloween is right around the corner.
You picked the Bunny Man.
I picked the Bunny Man. Listen, you just talked about history and castles.
At least there were ghosts involved.
Okay, so you're not familiar with this urban legend, are you?
I have not a clue. The only thing about a bunny I know is like the thing from...
Donnie Darko?
No. The thing from New York, Staten Island.
I don't know what that is.
Cropsy, I think?
Oh, is that what that is? It's the bunny?
I don't know.
Mr. Bunny? Leaving eggs?
Just making stuff up. I don't know.
But yes, today is about the Bunny Man, an urban legend from Virginia. Before we get into that, I just want a reminder that we will be doing a live episode, because that's our tradition now. After Helltown, Ohio, apparently now it's our thing.
It's an annual... Yeah. Believe the Bizarre thing.
Yes. We practice all year long.
Yeah.
So that we don't completely fumble it. Just kidding. With zero practicing.
You'll be able... Well, there's a happy medium like most things.
Do you stand in front of the mirror?
I've never done that.
Okay. We will be doing a live stream on Friday, October 29th. Again, that's 10 p.m. Eastern time for the folks on the eastern side, where it'll be barely evening for y'all on the west coast.
But look at a compass. Is it east?
That's us.
And that's us. There we go.
Yes. So it'll be dark, it'll be spooky, it'll probably be freezing like last year.
I'm going to assume it's going to be cold.
And it will be...
I may have a blanket on.
You should. You should have a blanket on.
I probably will, actually.
So it will get uploaded as normal to this feed, so you'll be able to listen to it afterwards. But if you want to catch it live, it'll be live streamed on both our Facebook and our Instagram. So if you're not following us yet and you want to be a part of that live stream, make sure you give us a follow on one of those two platforms. That's where you'll be able to see it live. And that's the only place you'll be able to see it live. Because we're not quite big enough for people to illegally stream it.
Right.
You can't go to StreamEast.live and see
it. No, we won't be there. But that's okay.
No. I'll be there maybe watching a football game. Nah, that's only Friday night. Yeah. But anyway, the task at hand. We're talking about the Bunny Man. Oh my God. Terrifying.
Yeah.
Are you terrified?
No, because I don't know anything about it.
So, before we dive into origin stories about the Bunny Man, I want to tell you the face value urban legend. So, pretend, like, this is what you'll get from maybe a resident, where they won't go into the history of it, or this is going to be very Charman-like in certain ways, where it's kind of like, all right, here's the urban legend, then we're going to talk about the origin stories, and God, you know that there are personal encounters. You know that there's personal encounters. So, that all is coming up, but let's get to the urban legend. Right. So what is this urban legend of the Bunny Man? And that's exactly what it is at this point. It is an urban legend. There is a lot of what they say type of stuff, or folks say, or people say, because we are, and I'm being completely transparent with you. I'm being very honest with you. We are in urban legend territory.
Okay.
That doesn't mean it's automatically unbelievable, because there's some stuff, there's some reports backing things up.
Okay.
But we are in urban legend territory. So if I say,
why does that make me more nervous? I don't know.
Yeah. It feels like anything is possible.
Yeah, I guess. It's like the Wild West, but Virginia.
Right. Who is the Bunny Man?
Peter Cantu.
This urban legend tells of this entity that stalks folks around Clifton, Virginia, specifically around Bunny Man Bridge, which was before known as Colchester Road Bridge. And if you actually go to Google Maps and you type Bunny Man Bridge, it actually recognizes that as a real entity, a real place, and it'll pull it.
Oh, wow.
It's not just like every other thing we try to find and locate. If you want to find Bunny Man Bridge, you will find it. Google's like, we got you. We got you.
That's kind of cool.
And for those of you with maps and you want to know east, west, north, south, it's about 40 minutes west of Washington, D.C. if that helps.
Okay.
Which means I was remarkably close last year when I went to Arlington, Virginia.
Yeah.
Didn't even know about it.
Man, I'm glad that you've started to incorporate where things are on the map for me. I think you did it because of me continually asking, where is that?
I have a natural tendency to try and remove questions. It's not healthy.
No, it's not.
But I try to think about answering as much questions as I can in my initial narration so that you don't have to worry about questions.
Take out all the work that I can do.
I just want to be perfect. So, Bunny Man, Bunny Man Bridge, what exactly do people claim to see? Charlie, a little music, please. Thank you. So, it's a tall figure. It's assumed to be a man, but it's this guy in a baggy, off-white, dirty rabbit suit. But not just like a regular guy that you might see in a Party City suit or anything like that, a spirit Halloween costume. They say you get feeling of uneasiness and that something just looks incredibly off about this bunny man, who's typically holding either a hatchet or an axe. And legend says that if you travel to Bunny Man Bridge exactly at midnight, and especially on Halloween, and you walk by yourself underneath the bridge and out from the moonlight, and you close your eyes and you call out for Bunny Man three times, Bunny Man, Bunny Man, Bunny Man, then out of nowhere, this entity will appear, creeping from the shadows. You'll see a tall, misshapen bunny figure with an axe in its hand, and before you have time to react, before you have time to scream or run away, Bunny Man will slash your throat and leave your body dangling from the bridge. End scene, and your life.
Hmm. That reminds me of so much of, like, Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
And also the Goatman Bridge.
Yeah.
It feels like there's elements of, I guess, good kind of ritual stuff in there.
It's, I mean, that's why I wanted to be very clear from the get-go. Like, we are in urban legend territory.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. They say if you put your like fingers like through the glory hole.
The first person that did it is like, I bet it won't happen. He said it twice, and he's like, oh, this is fake. And then the next guy came, and they said it three times, and now they're dead.
Yeah.
Now, it's safe to say that this is just one variation of how the urban legend goes, because as any good urban legend is, there's multiple variations, right? Because if you do it once perfectly, they're like, well, no, you didn't do it right. You have to be standing on one left foot.
Absolutely.
Stop on your right foot. Don't forget it.
Okay. I know that one, but I don't.
Yeah. And it's an old one. And you'll see shortly that there's multiple origin stories. But here's pretty much a gist. Like, just so that we can kind of move on and not just say every iteration of the legend.
Yeah.
Here are the main components that you can expect in any good urban legend revolving Bunny Man. One, tall man, dirty white rabbit suit, axe or hatchet. It's a given. Take the axe, leave the hatchet, either or, whichever one you want. The attacks are said to happen on the stroke of midnight, especially on Halloween at the Colchester Road Bridge, which, like I said, is now known as Bunny Man Bridge. I imagine if it's 12:02, I mean, you'll probably still die. 11:58, maybe not. Maybe he's got plans.
I don't know. Maybe he's with the real Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't
playing
know.
Cards.
Yeah. Oh, time to go kill somebody.
PlayStation 2 co-op, GoldenEye.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
And when you see this entity coming at you from the shadows, you got no chance. It's going to catch you. Imagine, like, have you seen how fast a real rabbit hops?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now imagine, like, 1 hour, taller than us, actually, but the big old one hopping. Like, you have no chance. He's going to slash your throat. And if he misses, you're still dead. He'll probably get, like, your head, your chest.
Top of your dome pops off.
The dome piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with how much video games he plays, his hand-eye coordination is probably...
it's fire. It's pretty, it's really good.
Pretty spectacular. Yeah. So you're definitely dead. And also, some people say it's actually not a man in a bunny suit, and this will come into play later. They say it's a deranged man hunched over that has dead rabbit pelts tied all across his body.
I don't know what's scarier, actually.
I think they're both creepy in their own way. I think there's like an innocence to the rabbit suit, but you know something's wrong.
Yeah.
Where if you see somebody with dead rabbits tied to their body, you just instantly know. I think it's more of like the mystery, the unknowingness, the anxiety of seeing the costume versus just the instant fear of the person with dead rabbits tied to him. I think it's two different types.
Yeah, two different kinds of spots in the brain.
Either way, you're probably still dead. So similar to Charman, now that we covered the face value urban legend, I want to ask you, Charlie, Chilele, Tony Bromo, Would you go to Bunnyman Bridge late at night? Would you close your eyes? The most alarming part, I think, honestly. And would you chant Bunnyman 3 times?
I'd go to the bridge. So I wouldn't do the chanty part. No.
You wouldn't.
Hard pass.
You wouldn't. So there's a little bit of you that believes it then. Or the risk doesn't outweigh the reward, which I guess is death.
That's I think it's stupid, but
well, it'd be one thing if it's like, okay, you have a 50-50 chance you're going to die versus the Easter Bunny is taking his shift for the night and he's going to give you a really old Hershey kiss.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you're right though. No matter what, you die if you're right. And if you're wrong, okay. If you're right and it's not real, what benefit do you get besides wasting a lot of gas?
Bragging rights during third period class.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you YouTube it, you'll get, you know, you'll put in your headline, watch until the end. You won't believe what happened. Like, this is a 3-minute video and you have a video that comes after this. So you didn't die and you didn't see anything.
Right. No, I wouldn't go.
I would be, here's the thing. If I'm with somebody, I might do it. If I'm by myself, I'm not closing my eyes. Are you kidding me?
No.
Yeah.
He's like, no, it doesn't work if you don't close your eyes.
All right, you do it alone and I'll be wearing the rabbit suit. And you're like, that's like 5'8". That's 5'7".
Not
cutting it. All right. So that said, let's move on to some of the origin stories and try and figure out who maybe this masked bunny could be. All right. Origin stories. I have 3 of them. Are you ready?
I wouldn't ask for any more or less.
There's a lot of 3s in this episode.
Quantity over quality.
Yes.
Yes.
Still. 80 episodes later.
Yes. I mean, 3 is not that many, but...
It's the perfect amount.
I appreciate it.
It's intriguing, but we're not going to lose you. Although, I liked the Montana, the quick popcorn UFO experience.
Oh, yeah.
That was entirely quantity over quality.
Yes.
So origin story 1, potentially, for the Bunny Man. I call this one Driven Mad.
Okay.
He's mad. First origin story tells of a man that lived in a cabin with his wife and child. One day, he left his family behind the cabin so that he could hunt and bring back some dinner.
Squirrels?
Maybe. Doesn't this feel very similar to Charmin again?
Yes.
I think I'm just rehashing Charmin.
This is the rural Charman.
Charbunny.
Charbunny.
That sounds like a Pokemon.
I think that is a Pokemon.
Yeah. Good. So he was out for a few hours, you know, hanging out with the Easter Bunny, just chilling. And when he returned to the cabin, he was horrified to discover the mutilated bodies of his wife and child. Immediately, the man contacted the Clifton, Virginia sheriff. But due to the lack of suspects and his erratic behavior, they actually ended up arresting him.
Yeah.
They thought he did it. They thought he was sneaky.
Common.
Conniving. So the man was bewildered and in hysterics, so they ended up sending him to a mental institution. He was there for years and years, maintaining his innocence and growing angrier and angrier about the injustice done to him and the fact that whoever harmed his family would actually get away with it. So eventually, this man escaped and made his way back to Clifton. He stayed in hiding, but he was often seen around the bridge. Those that saw him claimed they would find half-eaten rabbit carcasses littered around the bridge. And when they'd catch a glimpse of the man, he'd even have the dead bunnies tied to his body like clothing. Legend says one Halloween night, a group of children were hanging out near the bridge. They were confused and grossed out by the dead rabbit bodies that were not just littered around the ground, but hanging from the bridge. But soon enough, something else grabbed their attention. They were confronted by the man with rabbit corpses draped across his body. The children screamed, but in a blind rage, he was upon them in seconds. For days, the children were reported missing. It wasn't until a single deputy drove past Bunnyman Bridge that they were found. The officer was shocked to find a terrible scene of dismembered children hanging from the bridge and the nearby trees. Folks say that you can still hear Bunnyman's haunting laughter late at night, and images of hanging children are known to appear in pictures taken by the bridge late at night.
Ah, that's a really good origin story.
It kind of is like half origin story, half its own urban legend.
Yeah.
It's like somebody's like, what if an urban legend had an urban legend?
That's,
and then, oh, and then what's the, who's the guy that did Batman in Inception?
Christopher Nolan.
He's like, I love it. Do that. Yes.
I mean,
and another one. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah. I need him.
Everyone's got to eat, so.
Everybody got to eat. I feel bad for these rabbits.
He's like, the rabbits slayed my wife.
I know it was the rabbits. Maybe there's just a lot of rabbits. Hopefully there's at least one listener from that area in Virginia that can be like, there's a lot of rabbits. Maybe less rabbits now than back then.
Yeah.
So origin story number two.
Okay.
I call this one the asylum patient.
It feels pretty similar.
Yeah, it definitely has similarities to the first one.
Okay.
As there's this mental institution / asylum. Taking a step back for a second, this is always something I have trouble talking about, and I don't know if you ever notice it, like when you come into a story. I feel like mental institution and like insane asylum feel like very different things, but I feel like sometimes they get grouped together.
Yeah.
And I'm always very careful to not be like, yeah, the crazies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's... And you never know the context fully, especially in an urban legend. Like, you don't know what to degree.
And in the back, and like in the past, they just put anyone.
They're all together.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. So I try to be tactful about that. Obviously, we joke a lot.
Yeah.
But that is something that always crossed my mind where it's like, I don't want to be just like this, oh, this insane asylum where that's where they should be at, you know. But yeah, anyway, no. That's just, I was thinking about that as I was going through it. So I just wanted to kind of be upfront about that. But anyway, back to Bunny Man, who probably belongs in an insane asylum.
Possibly.
So this story goes back to 1970, and there was a bus that was carrying a group of individuals from a nearby mental institution, and they were being transferred from that mental hospital to another place, which is called the Lorton Prison, which apparently is a real thing. It could be like one of those little pieces of truth that's in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're like, oh, this place is real, in case they look that up. So anyway, it was a stormy night, right? You hear that thunder? Mm-hmm. You hear that rain? Are you there? Do you feel it?
I do.
Yes. And the bus's wheels started skidding on the wet road, and it ended up crashing. Every single person on that bus died except for one man who snuck away from the scene and found refuge in the woods near the bridge. During a search of the area while investigating the bus accident, police found carcasses of dead rabbits hanging from the trees around the train overpass by Colchester Road, before eventually locating the missing man. He was wearing rabbit pelts and aggressively tried to escape the police. But before the authorities could apprehend him, he was hit and immediately killed by an oncoming train over Colchester Road Bridge. To this day, his spirit is said to haunt the bridge, saying that his ghost will appear on Halloween night at midnight wearing a large rabbit suit like all of the bunnies he slaughtered and kill anyone who can't escape his clutches. Another origin story that dips its foot into a little urban legend.
Yeah, that's fun too. I don't know. I keep thinking about, I don't know where I want to put this in, but George from...
Oh, Mice and Men?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he wanted to pet the rabbits. It feels like it should fit somewhere in here.
Is that where you want to put it? Is it you good? You feel good about it now?
I don't know.
You got your Mice and Men reference?
I feel like it should be somewhere.
Do you want
more
to do a band lyric too while you're at it?
Terry. Baby Scars. Okay.
So there's a variation to this origin story. So we're not on origin story 3 yet. This is just a twist on the second one. Pop it. Twist it. Punch it. Murder it. So same scenario, bus accident, right?
Cool. Okay. All right, cool.
Except instead of one person escaping from the bus accident, it was three.
Okay.
So same thing, mental hospital, mental institution, transferring people to another one, bus accident, stormy night, lightning crash, we're all good. Three people get away instead of one. So the police searched days and days for these three missing patients until eventually they did find two of the lost men. They were hanging dead from a tree right by the bridge. Now, the search went from missing persons to murder.
Yeah.
And the police doubled their efforts. Months passed, and they were never able to actually recover the final missing patient. The town and the police had almost forgotten about the event and the missing person entirely when dead rabbits started appearing around town, hanging from trees. Some of the rabbits were skinned, while others were half-eaten, but all were significantly mutilated. This led to people in town talking about the legend of the Bunny Man, and as folks drew connections between the dead hanging rabbits and the two murdered patients. It all came to a head one Halloween night when a group of teenagers ventured to the scene that started it all, where the initial two patients were found dead, the Colchester Bridge. No one knows what the teens found or saw, because the next morning, the teens were discovered hanging from the tree around the bridge, killed and gutted like the rabbits.
How do you get all that rope?
A lot of rope.
It's a lot of rope.
You know, it seems like rabbits are getting the short end of the stick here.
Yeah, a lot of rabbits. Are any of these true? Like, are any of them backed up or anything?
Listen, we're going through origin stories. Okay. These are stories.
Don't expect facts, Charlie, you stupid idiot.
I'll give you a crumb.
All right.
Are you ready? I'll give you a crumb.
Nom, nom, nom.
Before we get to the discussion, there is a report section of this where we'll actually get real news reports.
Cool. Awesome.
Are you satisfied now?
I'm satiated.
Is your thirst quenched, sir?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
All right, good. All right. Origin story number three. The man in the bunny costume. So one thing might stand out from the two origin stories versus what the actual original urban legend is the lack of the bunny suit, right? If you think about it, technically these first two origin stories have nothing to do with a man in a bunny suit.
Correct. Yes.
Until now. The third origin story, which also takes place in 1970 around mid-October. And we'll get to these later in the episode, but there are real reports that are tied to these things I'm about to tell you.
Hell yeah.
The first incident involves Robert Bennett, an Air Force Academy cadet, and his fiance, who is nameless because it's the 70s and they don't care about women back then. That's just how it is.
Facts.
The couple were parked in a field in the town of Burke, Virginia, which is about 14 minutes away from Bunnyman Bridge.
Okay, too close.
Yeah, too close. And they just watched a football game and they were on their way to visit Robert's uncle who lived nearby. Although, you know, before they got to his uncle's, they wanted to take a quick pit stop to hang out in a field, chill, whatever the young kids be doing.
You know. Yeah.
And out of nowhere, a hatchet smashed through the front window of the car.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Freaking out, they saw a flash of a man running by in what looked like in that moment an all white suit. The man began shouting and running around the car screaming, "You're on private property."
They're like, is that a Southern minister?
Robert immediately shifted his car into drive and peeled off, accidentally taking the hatchet with them.
Is that ironic on purpose? Accidentally?
No, I don't think he was like, I got the weapon that I'm going to give to the police and they're going to fingerprint it.
Accidentally?
Well, yeah.
Oh,
no.
Adently.
I thought you meant like unintentionally.
No, I mean
I'm like, okay, maybe there's some other adverbs I could have used. So as they were driving away, Robert's fiance, because that's what her name is, snuck a peek behind them for a final glance of their aggressor, where she said it wasn't just a white suit. It was a furry white costume with long bunny ears. It has appeared. It has arrived. The bunny man hath come.
I'm so glad that happened for them.
And as strange as that story is, that isn't where it ended. Over the next few weeks, multiple reports started coming into the police department and were even reported in the Washington Post. About 10 days later, a security guard named Paul Phillips was patrolling an under-construction housing development after hours, late at night, when he heard a loud chopping noise. He rushed to the front of the house and discovered a man in a bunny costume who was standing on the front porch of an unfinished home, chopping away at the porch post with a hatchet. A little weird, right?
Yeah.
A little strange.
Yeah.
No white suit confusion this time. Like, guaranteed. The security officer was very clear that the man was wearing a white bunny suit with floppy ears. So he's, you know, he's kind of like a security guy. He's got, you know, he's probably got like a taser or something.
Yeah,
so he's
something.
Like, you know, he clears his throat and he's like, hey, what are you doing? You know, so he approaches him and the bunny man stops chopping the post, focuses his attention to the security guard, and says, "You're trespassing, and if you come any closer, I'll chop off your head."
Oh my god, that's aggressive.
Very aggressive. Angry bunny. That would be a very interesting... Imagine, like, you're driving, it's late at night, it's dark, and your headlights just happen to pass, and as you're passing this house that nobody lives in yet, it's empty, it's supposed to be vacant, you see this white bunny man chopping at the porch. What would you think in that
moment? I would think, I didn't see anything. I'm going to keep going. That's what I would do.
I must be tired. I could use some liquid death to replenish my body. So at this point, the county police open an investigation, and they were flooded with tons of reports from people who have claimed to see the, quote, bunny man. Apparently, this even drew attention from newspapers all around the area. In early November, so a couple weeks later, a group of children coming home from school reported seeing a man on the street with a bunny rabbit suit on and a hatchet. So that is the third origin story. Less urban legend, more reports about this weird violent guy around town that was wearing a bunny suit. There's your origin stories.
Now I get why Virginia has so many guns.
Yes. So you might be like, has anything crazy happened in around this bridge?
Oh, is that my
lately?
Is that my lately?
No.
Has anything crazy happened around the bridge lately?
Kind of. Not like, okay, there's this weird line that's like, if somebody died like 50 years ago, it's like, yeah let's milk their death for the podcast. Mm-hmm, more mm-hmm. details, the better. I feel like if someone died in like the last 5 years, I'm like, it's kind of touchy.
Yeah.
Do you feel that a little bit?
If their relatives are still young enough to potentially listen to the show, I get it.
Like 13?
Yeah.
So I don't want to get into like true crime. I don't want to get, you know, entertainment from somebody passing. I want to, you know. But somebody did die right by the bridge in 2018.
Oh, that's sad.
And there's a news report about it, and I'm just going to kind of go into that. Okay. So this is kind of the most recent death around that bridge. And I'm not even saying that it's because of the bunny man. I'm just saying there haven't been a lot of deaths in the last 50 years by Bunny Man Bridge until this one from 2018.
Okay.
This was reported. Fairfax County WUSA9 must be a news station.
Something like that.
Quote, the body of a man found along a rural Fairfax County road has been identified as Michael Cooker, 30, of Herndon. He was found along the 6500 block of Colchester Road in Fairfax Station by a nearby resident just before 7 a.m. Cooker's body was about 900 feet, what's known as the Bunny Man Bridge. The road was closed for hours as crime scene detectives poured over the spot where the body was found along the two-lane winding road. Responding units noticed upper body trauma to the victim. Of particular interest to investigators was the embankment. A crime scene photographer took many pictures of what he found there. The homes in the area are spread out, each on several acres. Police said no weapons were found on Cooker's body. They also couldn't say where exactly the murder took place. Besides upper body trauma, police are not saying how the man died. That will be determined by the medical examiner. Which there's no, you don't get
there's
that
no follow
report.
Up.
This is just the news article. I don't have the medical report. And again, I don't really like that. It feels both true crimey and also kind of not insensitive, but it's weird.
Very true crimey.
Yeah, I don't particularly like that. But it felt like due diligence in terms of, you know, what recently might have happened.
Yeah.
And again, not saying that this is due. You might think that it might be my prerogative to be like, maybe it was the bunny man. Just saying things that happened in the area.
Okay, I got you.
So, what do I love?
The Browns.
Yes, which are playing in about an hour. But that is neither here nor there. What during episodes do I love?
When there is an encounter by people.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. So, coming up next, we have, of course, sightings in personal encounters. Since 1998, Stamps.com has been an indispensable tool for nearly 1 million businesses. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS shipping right to your computer. Whether you're an office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy shop, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. No special supplies or equipment. Within minutes, you're up and running, printing official postage for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send. And you'll get exclusive discounts on postage and shipping from USPS and UPS. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. No traffic, no lines. Cut the confusion out of shipping. With Stamps.com's new Rate Advisor tool, you can compare shipping rates and timelines to easily find the best option. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk. And with our promo code POD, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in POD, P-O-D. That's Stamps.com, promo code POD. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Hi, officer. Everything okay?
Have you been drinking tonight, sir? What is that?
What? This? No.
That looks like a beer to me.
I can totally see why you'd think that based on its sleek, tallboy aesthetic, but it's actually a can of Liquid Death.
Liquid Death?
Yeah, the new water company.
You think I'm stupid? Here, let me try that. H2O shit.
Right?
By God, this is fucking fantastic. I mean, this is good.
You can taste the mountain water quality, can't you?
And the can, it's
so cold. Yeah, exactly.
And my thirst is gone.
Not just gone, murdered. Just like your favorite 80s slasher, Liquid Death stalks dehydration. There is nowhere for thirst to hide as it wanders around lost in minimal clothing, letting the suspense build until the crescendo of sound and thirst is slaughtered. Hey, what are you doing?
Writing you a ticket for hurting our great Mother Earth. You should be using a reusable bottle.
No. See, this can is infinitely recyclable.
That sounds too good to be true. What am I supposed to think? They donate 5% of their proceeds to fight plastic pollution?
Actually, no. They donate 10% to eliminate plastic waste.
Say, where can I pick up these beer-like, dope-as-shit cans of water?
Just head to your local Whole Foods or 7-Eleven. You can even order online.
That's right. And you can head online to liquiddeath.com/bizarre, where you'll get free shipping if you buy 2 or more cases of water.
Yeah. Wait, how did you know that?
I'm actually an undercover agent working for Liquid Death, the DDU.
DDU?
The Destroyed Dehydration Unit.
Nice.
Calling all DDUs. We have a thirsty suspect between Believing Boulevard and Bizarre Road.
Roger that. Have a good night. And again, be sure to go to liquiddeath.com/bizarre and join Liquid Death's Country Club by selling your soul, and you'll get a free shirt with your purchase of water.
Again, that's liquiddeath.com/bizarre. Slaughter your thirst today. So yes, this is the time that I love. These are the stories that I enjoy telling. It is sightings and personal encounters.
Yeah, this is the time. If you have the environment, if you have the time, put on a cozy blanket, grab a pillow, light a candle.
Bath and Body Works sweater
sounds
weather.
Nice.
Yes. And I just want to say up front, these are a little bit more grounded than some of our encounters in the past. This isn't going to be like Okeyohara, where you find a dead person's journal. It's not like that. This is definitely more grounded, but they all have their innate spooky moments.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Story one, quote, "My boyfriend and I visited Bunnyman Bridge a couple of years ago. We lived near that area at the time, and I'd been meaning to go visit the bridge for a while. I know it sounds cliche, but it was storming outside that night, and we were just hanging out at home when the power went out. We had no internet, no lights, nothing to do, so we decided to go check out the bridge. It was about 15-ish minutes away, so we put the location in our GPS and started driving. Once we got into the neighborhood where the bridge was, we noticed headlights behind us. Probably a resident, no big deal. So we kept driving. We were a couple of turns away from the bridge when we saw a row of orange cones up ahead blocking off the road. There are a bunch of streams in the area, so we figured there's probably some flooding due to the rain. We pulled off the side of the road to look at the GPS to find another way to the bridge. We expected the car that had still been behind us to pass us up and keep driving ahead on the main road, or at least turn around because of the cones, but they had fully disappeared right after we pulled over. It was like there was never a car there. it was very eerie. We shrugged it off and focused back on the GPS to find an alternate route. There was another way to the bridge, but we had to basically make a big loop to get around the road closure, so we started heading that way. The detour tacked on about 10 extra minutes to the drive, but we were cool with it. We were listening to music, having a good time. Suddenly, a pair of headlights pulled around a bend behind us and started tailgating us. It's a winding two-lane road, so we had to pull off in a parking lot so that this aggressive driver could get around us. When we looked up to see where we'd stopped, we were alarmed to see that we were in the parking lot for an old church's cemetery without even realizing it. This definitely spooked us, and we were starting to feel on edge, especially after the disappearing car from earlier. Since we'd veered off course for a moment, the GPS thought we made a wrong turn and started trying to reroute. We got back on the main road, and Siri almost prompted us to turn left on Danger Avenue. There was no road there for us to turn on, and the GPS map displayed was showing us that we needed to just keep driving straight. At this point, we were getting pretty freaked out, but we kept driving. When we finally arrived at the bridge, it was definitely creepy. It was dark and rainy, and we'd already been through a few spooky moments that night. There's this intersection immediately after you go into the bridge. When we drove through, we saw another car sitting at the intersection to our left. It was really unsettling. We could see the driver's hands on the wheel, but that was it. They never moved, and we couldn't see their face. And that was the last straw for us. We were ready to get the hell out of there. We drove forward to try and find another place to turn around, but we ended up having to slam on the brakes when we suddenly saw water from an overflowing stream rushing over the road, blocking our way. We had to put the car in reverse and back into the other side of the intersection. So we were facing the creepy car that was just sitting there, and we made a left to leave by going back underneath the bridge the way that we came. As soon as we passed underneath the bridge, the car shuddered and started to make a horrible, loud, scraping noise. It ended up being from a large branch that had gotten caught and was getting dragged behind the car. But it was plenty to get us speeding away, screaming. As we were on our way out of the neighborhoods to head back home, we were talking about the night, giddy from all the adrenaline, and my boyfriend mentioned that he kept thinking that every mailbox we passed was a person. I laughed because I kept feeling the same way. Like that one, I pointed towards what I thought looked like a mailbox that we were about to pass, and we both laughed. But as we got closer and passed it, we both realized at the same time that this one was actually a person. A real person just standing there out in the rain, expressionless by the road. It was a tall, slim man with dark hair and a scruffy face. He looked dirty and like he was wearing a beige shirt and overalls. We screamed and sped out of there, headed straight home. This would be the idea of not necessarily like a bunny person, but maybe the origin story of the deranged person that was taking rabbit corpses and draping them on their body.
Oh, okay. So I was like, that's a rabbit man's mom dropping off for his shift? Or
yeah. Tell the Easter bunny you'll see him tomorrow.
And that guy that they saw in standing in the rain, he lost his job that day.
It was because you had a bad day song.
He was having another night.
Story 2. Quote, my dad and I went hiking a few days ago. My dad's a waterfall fanatic, and he wanted to see as many as possible. So we were hiking along a very pretty trail. We were hiking along a river. It was flowing nice. It was just a nice trail, and we were having a really good time. So I'm hiking at most about 30 feet ahead of him, looking for a spot to stop and have a sit-down picnic lunch. And as I rounded a blind curve in the trail, I just freeze. Sitting on a stump, maybe 10 feet off the right side of the trail, is a guy. And he's wearing a hoodie with a hood up and a half mask with rabbit ears. He sees me and he stands up right as my dad rounds the corner. We were all three sizing each other up in the silence, and my dad addresses him. What's up, buddy? The masked man tips his head as if he was deciding what to do with us. And then he says, not much, but you guys aren't the ones I'm waiting for. Have a good day. Then he turns, jogs off quickly into the woods. Strapped on his lower back was a large hunting knife, and he had a pistol on his hip. We lost sight of him pretty quickly. We hadn't seen a soul on the trail all day, and we'd been hiking for almost 3 hours. Needless to say, we left the waterfall for another day and quickly turned around. Once we were off the trail, we reported to the local Forest Service and the police, but they said they couldn't do much aside from keep an eye out for any suspicious activity. The masked guy didn't have a backpack or water or anything, which makes me think he had either stashed it somewhere or was maybe camping and waiting nearby. I hate to admit it, but I desperately wanted to go after the guy and ask who he was waiting for and why.
Huh. That sounds very real-worldy.
That's what I'm saying, man. These aren't like, I saw the goat, man. I saw the bunny man. You know, I chanted it 3 times, and then this bunny creature started running at me.
No.
It's like real people having creepy experiences around the area.
Yeah.
That just feel unsettling.
That almost feel like a drug deal gone wrong kind of thing.
Yeah, it made me think of that, the movie The Hunt, you know, like they were hunting somebody. I already brought it up, so I'll just reference it again. I loved the Okihara one because it was so narrative and creepy and terrifying. But you leave that personal encounter being like, I mean, it's fake, right? It's fake. Where these ones, I have no problem believing these are both true. Like inexplicably 100% true. I don't think inexplicably is the word I was looking for. Just unequivocally.
Oh, yeah,
unequivocally true. I have no problem believing these are true.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, that's totally true. Crazy, but true.
Right. All right. On to encounter number 3. Quote, it was just a few months ago that my friend Layla and I decided to visit Bunnyman Bridge. She'd been before and was eager to show me. It was a little past midnight when we left and I was driving. The trip there is creepy enough in its own right. The winding, narrow roads are flanked by thick forests, with breaks in the wall of trees only every half mile or so for the wide space, expensive country homes. There are no street lamps. Without my brights, I could barely see where the next bend was. Layla was getting a little nervous, but I was more excited than anything. The sight of a legendary campfire story. I was thrilled by the prospect. It took a while for us to find it. The roads are complicated and unfamiliar to us, and we only had the vague directions of Layla's friend. Admittedly, we were lost. I hate being lost, so that realization made me anxious, but my friend shrugged it off. I remember she said, "Everyone gets lost back here, but eventually everyone just winds up at Bunnyman. We'll get there." And we did. Layla started to recognize the road somehow. She said the bridge was up ahead, and we'd reach it in just a few minutes. At this point, my excitement hadn't waned, but as Layla went to roll down her window to smoke a cigarette, I suddenly got uncomfortable. The bridge came into view. In the middle of the night, in the middle of winter, that bridge is the scariest thing I've ever seen. It just looks out of place. From a dead-on angle, with the leafless trees and dead vines obscuring all but the tunnel, it's intensely foreboding. From one side of the bridge, it's impossible to see through to the other side. I drove straight under without hesitating, going a little fast, which apparently caught Layla off guard. "Wait!" she shrieked. I stopped the car at once, right in the middle of the tunnel. Layla had wanted to roll her window up before we went through. Now, we were acutely aware of where we were and how that window was rolled all the way down. Layla panicked as she tried to roll it up hastily and dropped her cigarette on the floor. Her window was left open as she dove to search for it in the dark. That was when I felt the car move. It moved, not just a little, almost a foot, like we were pushed. Layla stopped and we froze and listened. Then we heard it. A low, dark grunt and long exhale. I can't accurately describe it. It sounded human, but off. The realization hit us right then. Layla's frantic whisper, "The window." It reached me, and the second I searched for the control, the window went halfway up, but it chose that moment to do that annoying thing that it sometimes does. It stopped and clicked, and then it went all the way back down. Layla, who wasn't aware that the window ever did this, flipped out. "Drive, drive, go." I started the car in a heartbeat and floored it. On the other side, I reversed into a clearing and turned around. We sped back to the bridge and saw nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I was looking, but as we drove under it, it felt like I hit something. My car went up as though there was a speed bump there, and we heard a dull thud at the back of the windshield as we cleared the passage. The window was jammed now. The cigarette was stomped out beneath Layla's feet, and our hearts were pounding. We got lost on the way back, too. In some ways, that was almost as bad as being under the bridge. So I think they killed someone.
Maybe. Jesus Christ.
It's like, listen, I know it's a little out of season, but I have some eggs, you know, the Easter Bunny gate. Oh my God! Yeah. We've all been there.
I know what you did last summer.
I know what you did last Easter. Oh God. All right. So those are the personal encounters. But before we go to the discussion, I want to tie in the Conley report, which looks at some newspaper and reports based on some things we talked about in the origin story.
Okay, cool.
So a lot of this information, which I'll be reading kind of similar to one of the personal encounters, kind of word for word, because it's written really well.
Okay.
And because of that, I want to shout out the source. It's from research.fairfaxcounty.gov/local-history/bunnyman. So this is about a guy named Brian Conley, who was doing a lot of research and wanted to kind of get to the bottom of Bunny Man, where he came from.
Okay.
And I wanted to put this at the end because I don't ever want to kind of nip the bud of a horror story before we even get to the horror story.
Okay.
So I kind of wanted to get the urban legends, the personal encounters out.
All the
fun stuff. Not saying that this report is going to destroy that, but before we start getting into this stuff, I want to kind of get the fun out of the way. This is just the due diligence. You ready?
Yes.
So Brian Conley is an, oh God, archivist. I don't know. One of those two. He does that for the Fairfax, Virginia Public Library. And he set out to find more details in the history of essentially what made the Bunny Man legend. So naturally, he did what you would probably ask him to do, and he looked into police records, and he wanted to find old sensationalized murders, right? Like things that seemed a little bit larger than life.
Yeah.
Something that may be related to some of the origin stories. And what he found actually resembles a little bit of like our first origin story.
Oh, okay.
So back in February of 1949, there was these reports of this gruesome slaying of a mother and her 8-month-old baby girl.
Oh.
The two were found in a shallow grave in Fairfax after disappearing during a car ride with the husband. Police soon found the victims in a shallow grave. The woman had been beaten and shot, and the baby was buried alive.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's bad. The husband and father had been eventually arrested, convicted, and sent to a mental institution.
Wow.
Apparently, that man then searched for any evidence of a man dressed in a rabbit costume terrorizing people in the Washington region, as if he thought that was what killed his family.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's, I'm not crazy. Saying that existed. It's in that guy's state of mind.
He thought
that's what happened.
But still.
Right. So, that ties in, right, to the first origin story? Exactly. So, let's go to our third origin story. Remember where you got the Lover Lane type thing,
yeah,
and
then
we have the other part.
The chopping on the porch.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So, these are word-for-word reports, like real reports, like existing reports that I'm quoting. Washington Post, October 22nd, 1970, with the headline, Man in Bunny Suit Sought in Fairfax. Quote, Fairfax County Police said yesterday they are looking for a man who likes to wear, quote, white bunny rabbit costume, quote, and throw hatchets through car windows. Honest. Air Force Academy cadet Robert Bennett told police that shortly after midnight last Sunday, he and his fiance, unquote, still nameless, back to quote, were sitting in a car in the 5400 block of Guinea Road when a man dressed in a white suit with long bunny ears ran from the nearby bushes and shouted, "You're on private property and I have your tag number." The rabbit threw a wooden-handled hatchet through the front car window, the first-year cadet told police. As soon as he threw the hatchet, the rabbit skipped off into the night. Bennett and his fiancée were not injured. Police say that they have the hatchet, but no other clues in the case. They say Bennett was visiting an uncle who lives across the street from the spot where the car was parked. The cadet was in the area to attend last weekend's Air Force-Navy football game.
Get out of here. So that's a true story.
That's true.
Wow.
Now the second one. I believe this is still Washington Post, with the headline, "The Rabbit Reappears."
Oh my God.
Quote, "A man wearing a furry rabbit suit with two long ears appeared again on Guinea Road in Fairfax County Thursday night."
Don't like that name.
"This time wielding an axe and chopping away at a roof support on a new house. Less than 2 weeks ago, a man wearing what was described as a rabbit suit accused two persons in a parked car of trespassing and heaved a hatchet through a closed window of the car at 5400 Guinea Road. They were not hurt. Thursday night's rabbit, wearing a suit described as gray, black, and white, was spotted on a block away at 5307 Guinea Road. Paul Phillips, a private security guard for a construction company, said he saw the rabbit standing on the front porch of a new but unoccupied house. Quote, I started talking to him, Phillips said, and that's when he started chopping. All you people trespass around here, Phillips said the rabbit told him, as he whacked 8 gashes in the pole. If you don't get out of here, I'm going to bust you in the head. Phillips said he walked back to his car to get his handgun, but the rabbit, carrying the long-handled axe, ran off into the woods. The security guard said the man was about 5'8", 160 pounds, and appeared to be in his early 20s. So, the Fairfax County Police Department apparently has no official record of the assault on Robert Bennett and his still-nameless fiancée, but they do have an investigation report related to the vandalism that Paul Phillips experienced. And with all of that information, are you, Charlie, and all the listeners ready to go to the discussion?
I'll speak for all of us. Yes.
All right, so, okay, there's the music again. So it is at this time that we like to thank all of our new patrons. Well, first of all, thank you all of our patrons, and thank you to everybody listening in general. But this moment is dedicated to all of our new patrons as of the recording of this podcast, which include Bethany, Andrew, Amy, Amber, Don, Mateo, Austin, and Beck. That is a lot of A names.
It is, yeah. Thank you so much.
Maybe your listener submission with the narrator A resonated with them.
Maybe.
They're like, my name starts with an A too.
Could be me. Oh, I didn't submit it.
But seriously, thank you all of our new patrons. Thank you everybody who's been supporting the podcast. If you haven't yet and you've been thinking about it, let me just say there's tons of extra bonus content. We have quizzes. We have director's cuts. We have Do You Believe the Bizarre, very similar to what we played with Haunting Season a couple weeks ago. We haven't really pitched this in a while. Once a month, we actually do a Google Hangout.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that's so much fun.
For about 45 minutes, everybody in our dedicated tier can jump on. We can talk, shoot the breeze. Always talk horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Always talk horror movies. And also, I don't think this gets enough love. We also have an exclusive Patreon-only shirt that you can't buy. You cannot buy this shirt. You can bribe us. You can pay double for it. We won't accept it. We might take the money. But you won't get the shirt. The only way you can get the shirt is by being a member of our dedicated tier. It's awesome, and you automatically get it by being in our Patreon for 3 months.
That's so funny, because as I look at you, you are wearing the shirt.
I'm literally wearing it right now. And you're like, wait a minute, Tyler, just because you host the Patreon doesn't mean you get to wear the shirt. Well, actually, I am a patron of our podcast, too. Because if you're not supporting yourself, I mean, you could just say I'm supporting Charlie.
Yeah, I'm supporting you.
Yeah, I created 50 accounts. But seriously, thank you everybody that's been supporting the podcast. It really means a lot to us, and we're humbled every day that we're seeing people want to support us. So seriously, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So, back to the Bunny Man. All right, Charlie. There's a lot of information there. Probably more than you were expecting about a Bunny
Way,
Man.
Way more. Are you kidding me? Way more.
Yes. So, let me ask you this. Do any of the origin stories resonate with you? And I wish I would have asked you before we got to some of the details in the reports, because I feel like now you're influenced. But it's also good to make a decision now that you have everything laid out in front of you. So yeah. Let me ask you, how do you feel about those origin stories?
I thought the one about the train and the ghost, that made the most sense for the original urban legend you said. You go into the bridge and you go, Bunny Man, Bunny Man, Bunny Man, and he kills you.
He's like, whoa, it's too fast. Slow it down. I'm caught up.
That made the most sense for that. But the fact that you gave me the reports that matched like the first one and the third one, that's more than I thought was going to be substantiated. So that's crazy.
Yeah. Very cool. That was something that's a very similar feeling that I had while researching it. It kind of felt like, okay, this is going to be like Charman, where I'm going to present a very urban legend-y story, which is fun, but I'm already like, well, I already know how the discussion's going to go. But then the more that I found and the more research that was done by, thankfully, other people digging into newspaper and Washington Post reports from the 70s, I'm like, all right, maybe this Bunny Man, Bunny Man, Bunny Man thing isn't real, but there's something here.
Definitely. There's definitely.
Or there was something there.
Something going around Italian Racism Road.
Okay. You know, I might have been saying that name wrong the entire time. If I was saying it wrong, I meant no disrespect to anybody.
I'm just kidding.
So I think, like any good story, that there is that kernel of truth. And I think, do you think that this is, not to get into the believability scale yet, but do you think that this is mostly true, or do you think there's a kernel of truth that kind of warped into this urban legend?
I think there's a whole corn on the cob of truth that has germinated into its own stock.
Germinated?
Yeah.
Germinated.
Into its own stock of urban legend.
Sounds germy.
That's what happens.
You're talking about food and germs.
That's what happens.
Put some salt and butter. Do you put butter and salt on your corn on the cob?
I just eat it raw.
Me too. I respect you for that.
Raw? I was kidding.
You put butter and salt on it?
No, I meant uncooked.
Oh, no, we're not talking about cooking practices. I'm talking about seasoning.
Oh, no.
Or preparing.
I maybe touch the salt sometimes.
I don't believe you now. Okay, then let me ask you this on the flip side. Do you think there's any chance that there's an actual Bunny Man spirit lurking around the area waiting for people and actually harming people, or even spooking people?
See, here's the thing. I think the person that was the Bunny Man went through a lot of trauma. And when there's a lot of trauma, we've discussed this before, there's a lot of potential for a ghost or a spirit. So I think it could be higher than I initially gave it credit. So
I'm not quite there with you. I was ready for you to be like the Loch Ness Monster, where it's like, I think it's like an energy fairy spirit thing, Bunny.
No. I'm not that far out there. But I think potentially with the ghost of this man, assuming he lived his life and died in the woods eating rabbits or whatever, I think there's a lot of trauma there. I think with that trauma, he could have formed a ghost.
Is that the urban legend, though? There wasn't really much in terms of like a real reporting that describes somebody like living out there and eating.
It's not. We don't know his life.
I wish there were reports about if there really were rabbits hanging from trees.
Right. I don't think there were.
But that would take a lot of time. Like you said, a lot of rope.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
It doesn't pass the ramen noodle.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Like, that is my new like benchmark. It's like when something sounds interesting and creepy at face value, but then you break it down and it feels just completely unrealistic. That is now the ramen noodle. What's the word? I call it the ramen noodle rant, but it needs to be like the ramen noodle theory.
Standard.
The ramen noodle standard. Yes. We now have a ramen noodle standard. Maybe that'll be a shirt one day.
I don't think it does pass that.
The specifically the hanging rabbits.
Yeah.
Hanging rabbits don't pass the ramen noodle standard, but that doesn't mean like if the first thing is true in the 40s, the guy really thinks that this rabbit did it.
Yeah.
And he's deteriorating his mind. He's getting, you know, maybe aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that person killing and eating rabbits.
Yeah.
I still want somebody from Virginia to be like, you know.
So many rabbits.
Cool story, but we really don't. I mean, if it was squirrels, maybe.
Okay. I go with maybe. A hard maybe for the ghost.
Okay. So was there anything that we haven't talked about in the discussion? There's a lot. I feel like there's a lot. Like, we haven't talked about the personal encounters. Is there anything from this episode that we haven't discussed in detail yet that really jumped out to you? Like a month from now, when you think about this episode, what's going to stick out? Like what's something
the thing sticking out to me is the man on the porch chopping the porch.
Which is as factual as anything.
Yeah.
If your best friend tells you a story, that's as factual as this.
Like, I think
we weren't there,
But it was reported. Firsthand. Yeah. I don't know. To me, it feels like that was in the 70s. I think there's probably some undiagnosed mental disorder with that young man who he said was in his early 20s potentially, which is about when those kinds of things start to happen. I remember I was very scared in college. I was like, am I going to be a schizophrenic? I don't know.
Am I going to chop down this porch? He's on that Christmas story, like pink bunny rabbit outfit.
Absolutely.
I have no idea what the graphic is going to be for this episode. That's the kind of shit I got to worry about. All right. Well, then, Charlie, there's definitely more factual content to this episode than I was expecting, than you were expecting. Where do you land? Now, frame of mind, like how are we framing this? Because there's the urban legend.
Yeah.
There's some of the backstories, the origin stories, the news reports. It's kind of a tough one to frame. Because I think there's easy ways to frame it as believable. And then if you go strictly with the urban legend and the say his name three times, I think there's very easy ways to frame it unbelievable. So I'll say it like this. I feel like the real thing we should do is the urban legend and whether we find that believable or not.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's too much news.
Like validation.
To just stick to the urban legend.
It, yeah.
So I guess... let's go with like the idea of that there's somebody out there or was out there that is disturbed and has a relation to rabbits. See, okay. Now I feel like I'm fighting for it to be more believable, but
there's a lot of
just because there was a guy 50 years ago that dressed like a rabbit and harassed people. Is that the same as the Bunny Man?
No, because that's not the urban legend.
Yeah, I know. I think I just like those cars in the story that they turn around and they turn around and they turn around. Yeah. That was me just now. I'm like, kind of unbelievable. And then I'm like, well, there's all these newspaper articles. And I'm like, okay. Because there's no fun in rating whether or not a guy ever existed that did this because we know for a fact there was.
Yeah.
So did that lead to a spirit that is at the bridge and will harm you and kill you if you chant his name three times?
I give that a skeptical. Skeptical because of the trauma that could be there that made that ghost. And I don't know how many people have gone there and said, Bunny Man, Bunny Man, Bunny Man.
For the people that don't listen to this episode and they only see our believability scale on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, they're going to be, or this week, they're going to be like, man, he didn't do enough research. But I'm telling y'all right now, was there a Bunny Man? Yes. Is there a Bunny Man urban legend that will harm you if you chant his name three times? Unbelievable. Damn it. So that is our episode on the Bunny Man.
Here comes Peter Cottontail.
Oh my God.
Hopping down the bunny trail.
So thank you everybody so much for listening. This feels like urban legend time, Halloween time. You know, it feels right. I'm always a little cautious to go into a story that I already lean like heavy unbelievable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel a little like.
What's the point?
But then come on. We are here for entertainment value as well. It's kind of like if something is very interesting, even if it feels very fake, I feel like we should still talk about it because it's like that's our job. We talk about the end. We say it's unbelievable, but still fun to talk about.
Yes. A lot of fun this episode.
So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you started taking it a little bit more seriously.
I definitely did.
As it went on, but it was fun. But seriously, thank you everybody so much for listening. As we kind of already hinted at, if you want more bonus content, if you've all caught up on our regular episodes, we do have tons and tons and tons of bonus extra content. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I very proudly stand behind all of the bonus content we're putting out. I think you're definitely getting your value from it. So if you enjoy us, you enjoy the show, you want a little bit more, I implore you to go to patreon.com/believingthebizarre and check it out.
It's all super cool and a lot of fun.
Yes. And again, reminder, we will be doing our live Halloween special on October 29th, which is a Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern time. If you want to watch, again, you can listen to it later. It'll be on your feed. That Tuesday, it'll be on your phone. You can listen to it then. But if you want to catch it real time, live, make sure you're following us on either Instagram or Facebook, both of which are Believing the Bizarre. We will live stream promptly around 10 p.m.
It's going to be a little bit of a spoiler. It's going to be cryptid.
Oh, it's a cryptid. It's that's a cryptid. Good. Give him a little, crumb.
It's a cryptid.
It's a, is it a bunny rabbit?
No, sir.
Okay. So, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are. Live!